Today's daf in Masechet Brachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Nun, and we're holding at the Gemara right after the Mishnah on daf Mem Tet Amud Beit. Okay, so we had a discussion in the Mishnah about the difference between having three people or four people, or having 10 people, or having 11 people. And the question is whether you say Barchu when you're talking to the people who themselves would have been able to do it. So if one person is speaking to three people, he can say Baruch Hu, and he doesn't have to include himself in the Nevarech. However, Omar Shmuel, Lo'olam ha'yotzi adam et atzmo min ha'klal. If you have four people, it is not kedai to say Baruch Hu, because even though you may be Yotze, but you're sort of excluding yourself, because you're saying you say to be Mevarech. But it's better for a person not to be motzi et atzmo min ha'klal, therefore you say Baruch Hu. Tanan, b'shlosha v'hu omer Baruch Hu. How does Shmuel answer the Mishnah? No, the Mishnah certainly doesn't mean that you have to say Baruch Hu. All the Mishnah is saying is that if there were four people and you said Baruch Hu, you would be yotze af b'Baruch Hu. But nonetheless, nevarech adif. Yom revada barava, amri b'rav, what they say in the yeshiva is that is, since it says in a Mishnah, Tanina, Shisha, Nechlakin Adasara, that if you have six people, you could separate into two groups of three. So how could you separate into two groups of three if it would be better to say Baruch Hu? If it's really better to say Baruch Hu, then you shouldn't be able to. But if you Taina Nivarech is even better, or at least it's similar, that would explain why we split. But if you're going to tell me that Baruch Hu is actually advantageous, then you shouldn't be allowed to be split. It means that Nivarech is better. Now, obviously, it doesn't really mean Nivarech is better, because it may just mean Nivarech is the same, because Rashi brings a different girsa that doesn't say Nivarech, but rather Af Baruch Hu. But Tosra says we find the Lashon Adif to mean not necessarily better, but to mean is very good, meaning just as good. He brings Rashi from other usages of the word Adif, and he says you don't have to change the girsa. Nonetheless, The idea is clear. Tanya Mihachi, indeed in the Brice, it says it makes no difference if you say Nivarech, or if you say Baruch Hu, if you got four people or 11 people. But the bottom line is, even though Ain't of Simato, I said, look, we don't tell the guy, hey, what are you doing? But there's always those extra pedantic people, you know, the Nagdanim. Well, they're Tov Simato, yeah, let me tell you. The Nagdanim always need to have everything perfect. So these are the people that are overly pedantic, according to one pshat. Rashi argues, Rashi here says, on himself, Rashi here says, dafkanim. Dafkanim means people are pedantic. In other places, he says, daikanim. So are actually teifes. What are you doing? It's not good to do it that way. And the fact is that from these small diyukim, and the way that a person makes a brocha, you can see the difference if he's a Talmud Chacham or not. For instance, case, that's a Rebbe says, somebody says, uv tuvo chayinu. But suppose it says, umituvo chayinu. No. Mituvo is a bore. Because if you're saying mituvo, it's as if you're saying, yeah, well, you gave me a little bit of your good, you know, but it's not like a serious amount. But when you're saying that you were makabel something, why would you be mamayit in it? Omerle abayler of dimi, doesn't it say, beferish when David HaMelech asked for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give him a brocha, that mi birchatcha, from your brocha, not in your brocha, Yivorach Beit Avdecha Olam. So apparently it's perfectly acceptable to say from. Obviously that's different. If you're asking for something, so you don't make it like, I'm Roy to have everything. You ask, give me a little bit, you know? Okay, so you say mi birchotcha. If you're coming to thank for something, then you make it into the big deal. You're not mamayed it. So how can you ask from there? So b'she'ela, shiny. Ask the Gemara, even b'she'ela. Doesn't it say that you're supposed to wide open, spread your mouth, Yamaleu? Ask me and I shall give you, but ask me for the full amount. Yes, but that's B'divrei Torah. You're talking about food. You can accept whatever it is that you get. You talk about B'divrei Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to share with you, is B'tzava you to share with him over there. Of course, it says Archeiv Picha V'Amaleu. Tanya. Rebbe Omer, so we were talking about the differences in the way in which a person makes a brach. So you say, Bituvo chayinu, then it's a Talmud Chacham. If he says bituvo chayim, then he's a bore. Because then he's talking about, in general, chayim, not his own chayim. Talk about your own need for hakaras tov. And Arbalai said just the opposite. If you say bituvo chayim, so then he's referring to the nature of life of life in general. So that's a bigger shevach, no? Says the Gemara, but we don't paskin like that, because basically the idea over here is to make it personal. And to make it personal, you have to mention your own life. On Rabbi Yochanan, if you say, Nivarech shachanu mishalo, that's the Lashon of Tamar Chava. If you say, Nivarech lemi shachanu mishalo, to the one whose food, what do you mean to the one? Like, are there a lot? I mean, what are we talking? We're talking about the Balabais, maybe? To the guy whose food we ate. That's a bore. Excuse me. But in the Haggadah, it's exactly what we say. We say, Lemi sha'asa lavoteinu velanu et kol hanisim ha'elu. That's the same thing as Lemi sha'achanu mishalo. So why is that different? Says Ravashi. Well, obviously it's different. If you're saying Lemi sha'asa et hanisim, who can do nisim? Joe Shmo? Obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who does nisim. But when you say in the Birkas HaZimun, Lemi shachanu mishalo, you could be referring to the Baal HaBayit, for heaven's sakes. Rabbi Yochanan. If you say, Baruch shachanu mishalo, that's very good. If you say, Baruch al hamazon shachanu, then I raise their bar, because what, is he giving a bracha for the food? Is he giving a bracha to Hashem? These diyukim that you might have been referring to the Baal HaBayit or whatever, that's only where you didn't mention the Shem Hashem, which means you didn't have 10 people there. But if you say the Shem Shamayim, so then obviously Mukam Ilsa, you don't have to say that. Oh, for God's sake. So there over there, it's Mukam Ilsa. You don't have to explain that it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kiritan. What's the lashon in the Mishnah? Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Elokei Atzvakot Yosheva Akruvim Al Amazon Shachanu. Why does it say that? It doesn't say that it's his food. So you see, because you mentioned already HaKadosh Baruch Hu openly over there, you don't have to say it's his food. Now, first you say it doesn't matter whether you got 10 people, it doesn't matter if you got 100,000 people, it makes no difference. I don't understand. First you say it doesn't make a difference whether it's 10 or whether it's 100,000. And mashma, that all groups are exactly the same. And then you start saying, well, but it depends. If you got 100 people, you say this. If you got 100,000 people, you say this. If you got 10,000 people, you say, I understand. You said a minute ago, it makes no difference. Well, obviously, that's what the rest of the Mishnah is coming to clarify, no? I mean, the Mishnah explains that there are two shitas. One is Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili indeed learns that every different size that has that new level of chashivut has a new level of bracha, whereas Rabbi Akiva says it's exactly the same. And we know that this is true because we have this later on in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, "Lefi rov akalim mevorchim, shenemer b'makelot baruchu Elokim." So you see that it's a function of the choir. Obviously, there's a difference in the choir between 100 people and 10 people. You know, each makel is different. I'm Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, that's not a good raya, because look, in a Beit HaKnesset, do we say a difference if we say, Baruch at Hashem HaMavorach, but if we've got 100,000 people there, we say, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Yosheva Kruvim, and no, we say, Baruch at Hashem HaMavorach, right? So Rabbi Akiva, what did Rabbi Akiva do with his pasuk? The pasuk says, B'makelot. Yeah, he says it's all different thing. B'makelot Baruch at Hashem is referring to the amazing moment of Shiras Hayam. That even fetuses in their mother's uterus said the Shira, all types of different choirs. Hashem mi mekor Yisrael. The mekor is a different word for the womb, right? So Hashem mi mekor Yisrael is saying that even those in the mekor participated in those makelot. Uh-oh, I have Barnea here, so I better make a brok on the mayim. Baruch ato Adonai. Eloheinu melech leolam shehakol nihyeh bidvaro. Excellent. Thank you, Barnea. Okay, obviously that's not a big deal, because, of course, Rabbi Yossi Aglili will say, well, yes, but that's from the word mimakor Yisrael. I don't need to have the difference of the makelot. That's a given, that makor Yisrael is a big kiddush. Omar Rava, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. And obviously, we didn't care very much about the taina that we didn't force an answer to the fact that we don't make a difference in the Beit HaKnesset, because it's clear we won't make a difference in the Beit HaKnesset where people are not kavua. People come in, people walk out. You can't make a difference in a Beit HaKnesset. The whole point of Birkat HaZimun is that this particular group is Kavua and is Mitchayev. So, okay, there you know what you got. You got 100 people, then you should adapt, according to Rabbi Yossi, to the number of people that you have. But we passed like Rabbi Akiva, and we had a Maisu with Ravina and Rav Chama Barbuzi. They came to the Resh Galuza, and Rav Chama was getting up, and he was saying, okay, do we have 100 people? Hello? Hey, wait a second. I only get up to 80 over here. Did anybody count 100? Boy, can you imagine? It's bad enough when you're looking for a mezuzah. Probably takes 3 hours to figure out if you got 100. No, I only got 99. Yeah, but he just walked out. Anyway, a disaster. So Ravina said to him, don't worry about whether you got 100 or not. Lo tzrichas, don't even look into it, because Rava said, Alocha k'Rabbi Akiva, it would make no difference. Amar Rava, once we're talking about the Resh Galuta, we once were eating by the Resh Galuta, and we used to break it up, and we used to go ahead and say the Birkas HaMozain in groups of three. Well, at least you should have a group of 10, because if you had 1,000 people by the Resh Galuta or 100 people, I mean, you definitely had 10. So what right did you have to break it up into three if you were already Mechuyev in Zimun to be Maskers Hashem? So you should have waited. No, because if we would have said loud, the 10 people could hear, it's all we need is for the Resh Galuta to hear us benching. Oh my God, that's death. So Shema Resh Galuta ve'ikpit, so we couldn't do that. Okay, so then if you couldn't do that, you're not allowed to do it. So why didn't you wait to hear the bracha of the Zimun of Asura from the Resh Galuta's bracha? Are you kidding? You can't hear a thing in there. There's so much noise going on, so many people going around. You can't hear. I did the afshu because it's so noisy. Kuleyama. Lo shame, you don't hear. So if you can't hear to be yotzi with 10, and you don't have an option of splitting up into 10s, so then you can split into a group of 3. Omar Rabba Tosva, Hani Shlosha de Kacharifta Bahadi Hadad. Let's say you have 3 people. They went ahead and they ate together. One of them goes ahead and he says, he forgets. It happens very often. Everybody looks and, hey, wait a minute, we had a mezuzah. Oh my God, I forgot. I'm so sorry, right? So the fact is that you could still use him for a zimun. So when he finishes his birkat hamazon, we say to him, okay, now don't leave. Sit down and wait until we're mezame. So, ino nafkin bezimun today, but for him, buddy, it's too late. Iolo nafik bezimun to do because ein zimun lamafreya. You can't go back in time to be yotze your chiyav zimun. So even though I can join you for your chiyav, I cannot be yotze my own chiyav. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, so Rabbi Shmuel says at the end of the Mishnah, you say Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hu Hashem, and you say Hamivorach at the end, as opposed to what Rabbi Akiva said, you just say Baruch Hu Hashem. So Rav from Bar Papa once came to the Beit HaKnesset of Abi Gibor, and he gets up, and he was called up for an aliyah. So he says Baruch Hu Hashem, and he doesn't say Hamivorach. So he starts banging. No, hey, what? Hello? And he just ended over there. Baruch Hu Et Hashem. V'ishtik v'lo amar v'orach. Everybody starts yelling, hey, Baruch Hu Et Hashem v'orach. What's the matter with you? Amar Rava. So Rava said to him, Patya Uchma. You know, you're like a black pot. You're so engaged and you're learning that mamash like leaving a pot. It is cooked again and again and again. What do you have to get yourself involved in a machlokas over here, you know? You bedavka have to go. It's going to hurt you to go like Rabbi Yishmael. Not to mention that the minhag is like Rabbi Yishmael to say Baruch Hu Et Hashem HaMevorach. So what are you ignoring it for? Sir Richard, we miss our Sir Richard, today. So you have 3 people who ate together. They can't split into 2 groups because they won't be able to say Zimun. Same thing is true if you got 4 people or 5 people. But if you got 6 people, then you've got 2 groups of 3. So then you can split up because then everybody can say the Nivarech. And again, this was our raya that we brought before, that there's no advantage in saying Baruch Hu, because otherwise we would need 8 people. Anyway, this is true until there's 10. Once you've got 10 people, so then you could say Elokeinu, so then you're not allowed to split, unless you have 20. If you have 20, then you could have 2 groups. Now, what constitutes a group? So if you have 2 separate groups that are eating in one house, on 2 separate tables, even they've got like a little curtain between them, as long as some of them can see some of them. They don't have to all be able to see each other. So then our Elam would start from Lizimun. But if nobody can see a member of the other group, then Elam is Amnim La'atzman, ve'Elam is Amnim La'atzman. So, Ein Mevorchim, Ala Yain, another interesting issue. You cannot make a Borei Pri HaGefen on wine unless you diluted it with a little bit of water. And so says Rabbi Eliezer. V'chachamim omrim, you can be Mevorech even though it doesn't have water in it. So the Pashtus over here is, as Rashi says, the wine at that time was extremely powerful, and therefore wasn't really roi to drink until such time as you were mozik et b'mayim, and that's the way to drink it. And until then, it's called borei pri ha'etz. Because remember, the whole reason we make a borei pri ha'gefen is nishtana mal yusa, and it wasn't nishtana mal yusa because it's not really drinkable. Now, there is some kind of question on the historical reality of such a thing, that the wine used to be more powerful. There are many indications that the wine was not more powerful. We've actually found wine from that period that was in containers. It's not more powerful. And perhaps it's possible to say that, remember, that all drinking was with alcohol because it was dangerous to drink water. So water was contaminated all over the place. So you did not drink unless there was sufficient alcohol to be metayer the water, which is why to them, wine, the way we drink wine, would not have been potable at all. Who drinks this stuff? My God, you can't drink. How much of it are you going to drink? So that wasn't a drink. Water with wine mixed in it was the drink. So it could be that that's considered to be the derech hashtiyah alayayin, which is no longer necessarily the case. Obviously, I'm not sure of this, but it's a possibility, at least. Okay, so now the question is, why do we need to know, if there's a chiyav of zeman on three, why do we need to know that you can't cancel the chiyav of zeman by splitting up? No, the chiddush is, that even if three people sat down to eat, but they did not even eat yet, they sat down together, they said amotzi, and now somebody, you know what? I don't feel like getting stuck over here with the Zimon. So he takes his amotzi, goes to another table. It's too late. Einan rishayin lechalek, or lishnach rina. Amar Rabba Meshmur Shlosha, sheyashvu lechol ke'achat. They sat down to eat together, even though kol achad v'achad ochel mikikaro, and they're eating from his own bread, they're still already not allowed to be michalek. If we only had the Mishnah, we might have thought that eating together means dafke eating from the same loaf of bread. So basically, this Mishnah teaches two things. Either that you don't have to actually have eaten, you just sat down to eat, or it comes to tell you even if you're eating from separate bread, and it's only the sitting down that's important, which is the kviyus, or there's another approach, keller avuna. The Amar Avuna, three people that came from three separate chaburas, and now they got together. Each one of them came from a chabura of three, and now they are all chayiv and zimun from the beginning, and now they have each other. So then we're talking about ushabo mishalosh chabura shel shlosha b'nei adam. If they had a chiyav in the beginning, then when they get together, they retain their chiyav, amar Rava, but that's not necessarily true. That's only if the chabura that they came from hadn't already benched. So let's say two of the people had already benched, and this guy only answered, right? And now three people like that, from three separate chaburas where two of each of those three had benched, come together. That is saying that you can go ahead, if they had benched already, there you cannot go ahead and bench. But if you were chayev and you never answered, there's zimun, then the chiyav of Zimun is still on you, and you don't need the original three people. But if they were Azman, Aleo, Beduch, Tayo, Porach, Zimun, Minayo, Rashi learns that it's talking about where they themselves already were Mishtatef in the Zimun, and it's talking about the case where you walked outside, and they were Korei Lecha, and you answered the Zimun. Tosus learns the way he explained it initially, and that's how we pass Ketosus' approach. Omar Rava, I'll prove it to you. Because we have a Mishnah in Kalim, and the Mishnah says like this, that if you've got a bed, and then half of the bed somebody walked off with, or you lost half of with, or it ended up that it became part of a Yerusha, and everybody took a piece of the bread. So then the bed becomes tahor, because in breaking it up into pieces, it becomes, what is Barnea writing over here about winemaker? Okay, I don't know. Don't think it's a function of sweetness, but maybe. Okay, anyway, continuing. So over there, if you get it back together again, you put that bed back together again, remember that the din of Choizrin L'tuma Yishana is only said on metal kalim. But on this, it's Mekabel Tuma only from this point on, because it's like a new kli. So you see Mikana Laba'in, but not Lemafreya. So what do you see? That once you split it up, there's no longer any din of Tuma. So Hakanami Kima de Azman Alayu, once they split it up, there's no longer any din of Tuma, because you already were Yotze. This is exactly the same case. Next case in the Mishnah was, if you have two chaburas eating in one house, it's partially, they could see each other. Tana, in the Braita, it says, even if they don't see each other at all, if you've got one guy that is waiting on these two tables, the shamash is mitzarfam to zimun. And the next piece in the Mishnah that says you don't say a bracha bari pri hagefen unless you mix it with water, according to Rabbi Eliezer. And the Chachamim say you do. There's a brayta that says like this. Tana Rabban, yayin atshelo natana tocho mayim. If you didn't put water into it, ein mevarchin alav bari pri hagefen ela bari pri ha'etz. Because remember, the only reason that we say bari pri hagefen is in shtanim el yuta. Not only that, but you can even wash your hands with it, because it's not considered to be wine, so it's no different than mei perot, and you're allowed to wash netilat yadayim with mei perot, according to this approach. But once you put water into it, then it becomes bar pri hagefen, and now you are not long allowed to use it for, because it's no longer water, it's a whole new product. So says Rabbi Eliezer. Chachomim Maimrim, makes no difference, ben kach u ben kach, you always say bar pri hagefen, and you are not allowed to use it as water, and so on. Now, this is the girsa that we have over here. Rashi brings another girsa that says just the opposite, that yain is considered to be a mashkin that is good for netilas yadayim, but mei perot is not considered to be a mashkin at all, and therefore it's not kosher for netilas yadayim. And the truth is, there's another sheet that holds none of them can you use for netilat yadayim, which is basically the way that we paskin in the end, according to the Rosh Mishnah Brura. And so we'll stick with that. Keman ozla, hadi arma Shmuel, osa adam kol tzrachav bepad. I'm sorry, I skipped. The Chachamim say you can say bari pri hagefen in all cases, but you never use it for netilat yadayim because you're ruining the wine. You're not allowed to take good food and use it as a wash. Keman ozla, hadi arma Shmuel, that a person's allowed to use pot for anything that he needs, even though it's going to ruin the bread. Come on, Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, we don't care, you can use it for netilat yadayim. The same thing would be true of bread. Om Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Chanina, the Chachomim remoted Rabbi Eliezer, that when it comes to the kosher bracha, where over there you're not just interested in what bracha you're making of bari pri hagefen, but it also has to be the covet of the birchas hamazon. Over there, ein mevorkan al vachitena tocho mayim, my time over vashaya, because since you're doing it as yayin shal mitzvah, whether it's a birchas hamazon or birchas avdol or kiddush, whatever, you need mitzvah min hamufchar, and certainly it's not the best. To have it not diluted is not the best way to drink wine. What about according to the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan say that you do say a bari pri hagefen even if you didn't pour in water. What good is undiluted wine? Rabbi Zera, it's good enough that you can use it for kuraite. And kuraite, as we saw, we had like a lot of different things that are either strengthening drinks that they used to drink in the morning, the aluntes, the anamulin, where we had drinks that were made specifically for curing diseases. So for that, you use a strong alcohol base, because anyway, you have all these other ingredients in it. So there, it would be roi. Tana Rabbana. There are four dinim that we say that are limits on your use of pot. First of all, don't put raw meat on the bread, because the drippings from the meat can ruin the pot. Do not pass a full cup over bread, because if you spill any of it, you're going to ruin the bread. You do not throw bread, even though the bread is not going to be ruined. In other words, it's going to be caught by someone without hurting it. It still is a bizoyan for the pot, and you're not allowed to be mavaz a pot. Ve'in somchina takara b'pot. You don't support a plate with bread, because that's considered to be a bizoyan for the bread. Amimer, Marzut, Ravashi were sitting around eating together, and they bring in front of them dates and pomegranates. So Marzutra takes one, and then he takes, so the girsa that we have over here is distana. Distana means that it's a piece of meat. So he took, according to this girsa, he took a piece of meat and threw it in front of Rav Ashi, which was, means that the whole introduction was irrelevant. And anyway, wouldn't it get ruined if you threw it? Anyway, some kind of that, when it, the distana is referring to one, it means the food. It took one of these foods, either the pomegranates or the dates. Anyway, but it was in a way, as we'll see, that it didn't get ruined. So he said to him, Rav Ashi says to him, is that correct to do? Doesn't it say in the Braita, Ein zorkin et ha'ochlin? Said Mar Zutra, no, it says you're not zorek pot. It doesn't say you don't throw food, even though that may be what your mommy told you. Says Rav Ashi, but there's another Braita that says, the same way you don't throw pot, you also kachin zorkin et ha'ochlin. So Mar Zutra said to him, but there's another Braita, which now you're going to have to explain, that even though you're not Zorek as a pot, you are Zorek as a ochlin. So how do you explain that? Well, you think the prices are in contradiction? No. El lo kasha. It depends on the situation. If you're talking about something that gets filthy and is ruined if you throw it, then everybody agrees you're not allowed to throw it. If you're talking about things like a pomegranate, that is not going to get filthy when you throw it, so then it's not a problem to throw it. Basha Inkain bread, you're not allowed to throw because the actual throwing is considered to be a bizayin. Tana Rabbana. You know how they've got these beautiful fountains, wine fountains at a smorgasbord? I mean, everybody does it with punch mixed with wine. They used to do it with wine itself. So you had the wine flowing out of a fountain and coming into a bowl. Doesn't mean that it was ruined. Obviously, it was recirculated into the fountain. You're allowed to do that. And Mamshich and Yayin Betzinorot, you can have them pouring out of these pipes before a Chosin Vekal. V'zorkin lifneim kloyot v'gozim b'motacham. And as long as the ground isn't muddy, you can throw these toasted types of wheat and so on, or you can have nuts that have a shell, but not in the wintertime. Of a low gluska oat, you can't throw rolls of bread, not b'imot hachama, and not in the imot hagishamim. And here there's a little bit of a problem, because Rashi says the reason is because they're always considered to be a mimas, which of course is a problem, because if it's bread, then why don't we just say that it's aser because it's a bizoyan hapat? You know, that's a little bit of a problem. If you take a look in the Bir Agra says that Rashi is learning gluskaot as different types of sweetened Danish, but not pot. Okay. How about, says the Rebbe Yehuda, suppose a guy forgot. He puts food into his mouth without saying a bracha. What does he do? Well, he can push it to one side of the mouth and make the bracha and then eat it. So now, there's three brises that seem to contradict each other. One brise says, if you put it in your mouth without a bracha, swallow it without a bracha. Another brise said, spit it out. Another brise says what we just said, which is put it to one side of the mouth and eat it. Says the Gemara, it's not a contradiction at all. We're talking about three different situations. Where it says you swallow it, that's talking about a liquid where there is no way that you can put it to the other side of your mouth and talk without it's leaking out of your mouth. You can't do that. So over there, you should swallow it. And there's a machlokas whether, if you swallowed it as a liquid, whether you could say the bracha after you swallowed it. We'll see the Gemara a little later on. And the one that says spit it out, that's talking about something that is a piece. And when you take it out of your mouth, it doesn't get disgusting. You put it back into your mouth. So that's talking about midi de lo mimis. If it says that you could set it to the one side of your mouth and make a bracha, that's something that is disgusting to spit out, and you wouldn't put it back in your mouth. Wait, so then why can't I just take anything, even if it wouldn't be disgusting, why can't I just put it to the side of my mouth? The reason is because the Pasuk says, let my mouth be full of your tehillah. If you got a piece of food in your mouth, you can't exactly be filled with your tehillah. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to ask, we'll see tomorrow, about whether post facto it's possible to make a bracha.